Alrighty.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 77th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. We're almost at 100, Joe.
Whoa. That's crazy.
We're almost at 2 years.
Damn.
Next episode, actually, because we're not going to record until the end. You haven't been around that long, but 2 years of podcast. A lot of podcast.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, next episode, because we're not going to record until the beginning of January.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what, the 27th today?
28th.
Aw, dude. Today's Major Space Laser comes out on Android tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Not iPhone yet, so I can't play it.
No, I'm buying an iPod from someone on Tuesday, and I'm going to finish the port. It's like...
Awesome.
Mostly done. I just have to finish... I have to get a couple achievements working, and then I have to test on iOS 8. So, I pretty much just have to wait till I get this iPod on Tuesday.
Sweet.
And then, hopefully, I'll have it done on Wednesday night. And then, I have to wait about a week to get approval. But, like, everything in the iOS port pretty much works, except for one bug. There's, like, a sprite that, like, flickers. No clue why. It could be that I'm just on, like, this super old-ass, like, iPhone 4 that, like... doesn't work. Like, none of the buttons on that iPhone 4 work. So, and it's like, it's not a 4S, it's a 4. So, yeah, it's not a great phone. But Major Space Laser, it's done. Like, besides one thing, I have to enter one data value. There's a button in the game that when you press it, it like links to buy the album. Like, it links to a webpage to like buy the soundtrack. And
yeah.
The guy who made the soundtrack hasn't actually uploaded the soundtrack to Bandcamp yet, so he doesn't know what the link is. And I was like, hey, what's the link for the soundtrack? Because I'm done the game, and then we can just release it. And he's like, oh, I didn't upload the soundtrack. And I was like, damn it. Because we were going to release, I was going to release on Christmas.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah.
Buy your kids a Major Space Laser for Christmas. They'll love it.
Oh, I'm probably getting the iPod today. I just got an email from the guy being like, hey, I'm home. You want to buy this iPod?
Awesome. Well, hopefully you can get it today.
Yeah, because then I can get the port done tonight. That would be so fucking rad. I'm really excited. It's just $150 I didn't want to spend.
Yeah, true. But it'll be helpful for all your other apps.
Yeah, but now I have to make more apps. Like, to make it worthwhile, I have to make at least two more. I guess that's not that bad, because I already have one that's, like, pretty much fucking done. And, besides art.
Like, you're gonna make a bunch of other...
And then I have, like, a couple other planned out, sort of. They're, like, designed, but I don't know if I want to make them. But I'll do at least two more, I guess, just to make it like worthwhile, because I probably sunk like a grand into this app.
Wow.
Well, okay, probably like $1,400, but $1,000 of it is like stuff that I never have to spend again. Like, I don't have to spend that money to do a second app, whereas like only $400 of it is like for sounds, and that's because I'm actually splitting that $800 bill with someone else. So I'm paying $400, they're paying $400. Whereas, like, buying iPods and stuff, it's hard to convince the other person, hey, pay for half of this iPod that you will not be able to use because you do not live near me.
Yeah.
Like, that's a hard sell to sell. Give me $100 so I can go buy an iPod. But, yeah, that's, like, all one-time fees, pretty much. So that's why I have to make, like, a few more apps to make it really worthwhile. So
nice.
But yeah, that's what I did with my Christmas. I finished Major Space Laser.
I hope it is an amazing success.
I hope it is too, because then I don't have to make any more apps. I can make the game that I really want to make. I want to make like a Roller Coaster Tycoon style management game where you build an arcade.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think that would go really well. It'd probably take me a year to do it, so. Like, of just me working on it.
Arcade Tycoon.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it that. I don't know what I'd call it yet.
There better be some DDR machines.
There would be DDR machines and light gun machines and pinball machines, obviously. What did you do for Christmas?
I got a Wii U, and I've been playing the shit out of that.
Aw, damn.
And then I bought a ton of games for it, so I've been playing all those. And I also bought a bunch of Bionicles, because they recently rebooted the whole series. So I've got a bunch of them. I have four now. They're just sitting nice. On top of my shelf up here. They look awesome.
What Wii U games did you get?
Hyrule Warriors, Mario Kart 8, 3D World, Monster Hunter 3, Nintendo Land, Smash Bros., Captain Toad, and yeah, that's it.
That's a good chunk of games.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy with it.
I didn't hear Bayonetta 2, but...
No, I wanted to get it, but it was just too expensive.
Yeah, I bet that's not on sale.
Yeah, it was still like $64. I was like, eh.
You should get it. It's like the one of the best games for the Wii U at this point.
I wanna get it, but I'm gonna probably wait.
I mean, until I get why you price. Did like Smash Bros and stuff because yeah. like, you're really big into Nintendo and you know that you like those games.
Yeah.
Bayonetta 2.
I know that I like Bayonetta. Great. Like I played the first one, so I know I'm gonna like the second one. I think I'm just gonna wait until someone brings it into the store I work at, and then I'll buy it, and then I'll get 15% off. Because it's a pre-owned game on top of that pre-owned game price. So we'll see what I can do there. I also don't have enough money anymore.
Yeah, because that's a lot of games.
Yeah, I bought a ton.
Yeah, I didn't really buy any games this winter. Well, not winter, but Christmas. I kind of bought like the games that I wanted to play. There's a few that I still want, but don't really have the money. Like, yep. If I have money, it is going into these games that I'm making rather than playing more. Because I guess...
Holiday sale. You get anything for holiday sale?
I bought three games, and I haven't played one of them yet, but I'm really disappointed in the two that I did play.
Which ones?
I bought Civilization Beyond Earth, which was really disappointing. It's like
you didn't watch Angry Joe's review? I could have told you
that. No, I knew it wasn't as good as like Civ 5, but it's still fucking disappointing. Like it's so bare bones in a way that is upsetting. It's not Alpha Centauri at all, and it's not good Civ. Like it's simple. It's Civ light. Like it's my first Civilization. And it's so, as someone who's played Civilization my entire life, fucking Civ Beyond Earth is just too easy, too simple, not enough depth, like, has garbage diplomacy, just everything is wrong. Like, everything that they did really, really well in Civ 5 after the expansions, they didn't do in Civ Beyond Earth, so.
I forget which game it was, but, Angry Joe had mentioned another Civ-like game that came out this year that was really good. I can't remember the name of it, though, but it looked really awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm probably just going to end up going back to playing Civ 5. Like, I'm not super disappointed because I got it half off, so it was only, like, $30, but I would definitely not pay full price for that game because it's not worth it. And it's not like... I don't know if they're going to do expansions like to the same degree that they did with Civ 5. Just overall disappointing. The other two games that I bought Hack and Slash when it was on sale, but which is a Double Fine game.
Yep.
However, because it was on sale, it was also it's normally packaged offered as like a bundle as well with a space-based DF9. And it was another $2 to get that as well. Space-based DF9 was an early access game that they funded the game's development through early access. And then when the game like stopped selling well, they basically just put a tutorial in and released it. And that game is disappointing as well, because it is barely a game. Like, it didn't get far enough in development to have any real depth, so it's not very good. Good thing I only paid $2 for it. And I'm looking forward to getting around to Hack and Slash, because that game is like a puzzle game where... So it's like a Diablo-like, like a gauntlet-type game kind of deal. But
yeah,
you can't actually like beat any of the monsters. They're pretty much all impossible, but you can modify every encounter. Like, you have access to the like to the code, and so you can like modify it, and then you can make it beatable.
It's I played it, like I picked it up and I put a little bit of time into it. From what I played so far, I haven't really enjoyed it. But I'm not that far into it, and I
heard
I'm kind of
lost. I heard it gets, like, a lot more complex at the end, kind of.
Yeah, so. I mean, like, I put, like, maybe, like, 5-10 minutes into it.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah.
So you, like, started the tutorial.
Yeah, and then I got lost, and I didn't know where to go, so I shut it off, and I played one of the other games I got.
Mm.
Also, the game I was thinking of that's, like, Civ is, crap, I already lost the name. Endless Legend, I think it was. Yeah, Endless Legend.
Yeah, I know the game you're talking about. And it's like a fantasy type Civ game. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that was really good from the video I was watching. It looks sweet.
See, I would probably just play, fuck, what was the name of it? Something Genesis. Eador Genesis. Oh, no. Maybe it is Eador Genesis, but it's one of the two Eador games.
Okay.
It has, like, a grand strategy component to it, where you choose, like, these shards of the universe that you have to go to, and then when you choose a shard, you, like, go to that shard and have to fight a bunch of people to take it over, and the, when you fight to, like, take over a shard, is like, a whole game of Civ. And it's a fantasy game. Like, it's a fantasy RPG, like, turn-based tactics game.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. The campaign is hundreds of hours long. And, I mean, you can make games... Like, you can make, like, a quick match where you, like, have to fight over, let's say, 20 shards, and that will take you hundreds of hours.
I can just hear the... quick match quotation marks.
Yeah, quick match. It's not quick. It's not even a little bit quick. But yeah, I mean, Eador is a great game. That's something I played last year. I'm pretty sure I put it on my top 10 list. It was somewhere on there. I'm not going to do a top 10 list this year. I just don't have the time.
But I don't think I've played enough games to be able to make one.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, this year is also... There's been a lot of growing pains. Like, last year was the year of indie games, and this year was, like, the first year that we were supposed to get our big, like, AAA titles for the new consoles, and no one... Like, people basically shipped mediocre ports or broken games.
Yep, and then anything that seemed good was usually pushed back.
Yeah, anything that has, like... I mean, the games that were supposed to be, like, big this year were going to be, like, The Witcher.
Yeah.
That was something I was... That was my most... Last year, when we opened up the podcast for the year, we do, like, a most anticipated game of the year. That was my most anticipated game of the year. It's now my most anticipated game of next year. Like, so disappointed. But like, I'm really, really excited for that series to come to an end. But it didn't come out this year. And yeah. I mean, like, at best, I can say I'm disappointed that it didn't come out.
Has it been stated that Witcher 3 is the end of, like, the series?
I'm assuming it's going to be at the least, it's the end of the storyline that they set out in the first one, because you finally encounter and confront the Wild Hunt. In the first one, you wake up and you don't know... Everyone thought you were dead, but you don't know, like, who you are or where you are. And as, like, the game progresses, you find out that, like, you're Geralt the Witcher and, like, all of this stuff. and you try to get back your memory, and you lost your memory as a result of like trying to save a woman from the Wild Hunt, and the Wild Hunt are like, they've never really explained who they are, but they're like horsemen, and they maybe are undead. There's certainly magic, and they like go and wipe people out, basically. And you confronted the Wild Hunt and lost your memory, and everyone thought you died.
Okay.
And now you're finally going to meet this woman that you tried to save from the Wild Hunt, and you're going to confront like the leaders of the Wild Hunt. Like, I'm excited. I didn't read the book series, so I don't really know what's going on with that. Whereas people who've read the books would already know.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's on my wish list on Steam right now. It's definitely a game that I'm going to want to try.
Yeah, you should definitely play the second one at least before you play the third one, just because, yeah it's probably mandatory.
Well, maybe we should fix our Steam sharing so I can play it.
Probably. Just because at this point there's so many characters in that game that you will want to know who they are. Okay. If you just play the second one, you get it does a good enough job of letting new players figure out who everyone is and like fills them in.
Okay.
Whereas the first one, like, I don't think it's mandatory because it doesn't have great gameplay. The story's fantastic, so like if you're really into The Witcher, then you should totally play the first game, but it's not where I would introduce new people to The Witcher, because it really doesn't play well.
Yeah.
Like, I know people who tried to get into The Witcher, and they're like, yeah, I played the first one, but it sucked. I don't know why you like it. I'm like, no, just go play the second one, and then you'll probably feel like playing the first one. Because, like, the second one, the combat is just really... I like the combat in that game. I know a lot of other people don't, but I do. The story's really great. Like, the pace of that story is fantastic, and it does choice better than any other RPG, pretty much. Like, the only other RPG that I can think of that does choice nearly as well is, like, Divinity Original Sin.
That game is... I really want to play that game. And just went on sale on Steam today.
It's probably worth buying. Also, yes. If your girlfriend has, like, an okay computer, I would get two copies, because it's co-op. Well, if your computer can run it, then her computer can run it, basically. But
No. She's got like a Windows like 45 on like some really shitty like gray desktop box.
All right.
Yep. It's one of those.
Yeah, that's a poor place to be in. But that game's co-op and it's got wonderful co-op. It's just it's the exact same as the single player, except that you control, like, when you start the game you make two characters, and when you play in co-op, like, the other person controls the other character.
Sweet.
And you guys can, like, roleplay your characters and choose different choice, like, make different choices in the game. And then you have to, like, try to convince the other person to use your choice. And basically it breaks down into, like, this modified rock, paper, scissors game. And, yeah, it's pretty great.
Nice.
It's really enjoyable.
I ended up getting a bunch of games for the holiday sale just because... For Christmas, someone gave me $20 for Steam, and then someone else gave me $50 for Steam, so I had money to spare on Steam.
Yeah, and I mean, so, you can't get it out, so...
Yeah. I ended up picking up Costume Quest, which I'm very much enjoying.
Yeah, Costume Quest is wonderful. I think the second one came out this year, right?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so okay.
I just didn't have the money for that one, because it's brand new and it's full price.
Yeah, whereas, like, Costume Quest, I'm pretty sure it went on sale at one point. It was, like, $1.50.
Yeah, it was like, I think I paid like $2 for it or something.
Yeah, it was super cheap.
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. I also picked up an old game that I played a shit ton when I was a kid. It was an old PopCap game. It's called Insane Aquarium. I can't believe that game is on Steam.
I feel like I've heard that name before. I feel like it was a Flash game.
It was an old PopCap game, and basically there's a bunch of fish on the screen, and you have to like buy more fish and then feed them so they grow, and then they poop out money, and then you have to like buy like little pets to finish each level.
Then
like aliens spawn in, you have to shoot them with your zappy gun. I love that game.
That sounds silly.
It's awesome. I love it. It actually, like, in the later levels, it becomes a pretty good puzzle game.
That's good to hear. I will not be buying Insane Aquarium.
I don't blame you. It's pretty much just nostalgia for me. I also picked up New Vegas, finally, because it was on sale for like $2. I'm like, why not?
I have that game's great.
I know.
It's way better than Fallout 3.
Yeah.
Which was upsetting. Fallout 3, not a good game. Fucking Fallout 3. Okay, I never beat Fallout 3. I will forever talk shit about that game, though, because it was, like, just mediocre, and then my save, it crashed, corrupted my save, and I was going to have to start over, and I was, like, 3/4 of the way through the game. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. Fuck you, Fallout. I never played it again.
I had trouble getting past, like, the beginning. Like, I got through the beginning and then out of, like, the vault, and then after that I was like, I'm bored, and I never played it again.
Yeah, I didn't like that game. New Vegas, however, does everything that you wanted Fallout 3 to do, pretty much. It's got way more interesting characters, way more interesting environments. At least as interesting as you can get with, like, exploded desert. One of the things that are nice about New Vegas, I think it was that New Vegas, like, wasn't really hit by the nuclear war, because it was, like, Vegas wasn't hit because it's just the desert, right? And so nuking it doesn't, like, do a lot. There's not, like, life in Vegas, like, in the Nevada desert. So yeah, it went untouched. And so, like, a lot of the people in that game aren't mutated, but there's, like, a lot of robots and stuff because since they weren't nuked, like, they had most of their resources available. So they're, like, more, high-tech than places that you would hit, like, find in Fallout. And much larger than places that you would find in Fallout. Like, you go to these huge towns that, like, have, like, robot guards and stuff. It was just interesting. It was a really interesting take on Fallout. And I think it was a lot better than what Bethesda did, so
I'm definitely going to have to try it. The game that I picked up that I'm most excited to play is the Talos Principle.
I saw that game. I don't know much about it. It's like a first-person puzzle game?
Yeah, it's made by the same people who made Serious Sam. It looks interesting and really good. I'm excited to play it, and I was actually willing to put, like, almost $40 down on it to get it. So I'm really hoping it's good. But from the ratings that I have seen, it seems that everyone's loving it. So I can't wait to try it out.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like if you were into puzzle games, that'd be, like, your thing.
Yeah.
I'm super into puzzle games at this point, so
I'm definitely one for the puzzle games, so I think it'll be a thing for me. It's also made by the people who made Serious Sam, so I'm interested on how it works out.
See, yeah,
as that is a big genre change for them.
Yeah, that's a huge change, seeing as Serious Sam is, like, just about shooting dudes with bombs for hands.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Alright, so you and I have to play some Monster Hunter, like,
yes, we do.
Today? We should play some Monster Hunter today.
Okay, well, or then, like, you have to accept my friend request, finally.
I haven't turned... Why would I turn on my Wii U?
I don't know.
Oops, just bumped my mic.
Play a game?
Yeah, I know, but I don't... Okay, I pretty much only play Smash and Mario Kart when I have friends over.
And
I've, like, beat Monster Hunter.
Also, your Mii's mustache is not even as glorious.
I know, but it's the only mustache. There's no other mustaches.
It's upsetting. I was like, I added your Mii, and I was like, is this Ryan? It doesn't look like his mustache.
I know, but I can't. They don't have my mustache. Listen. It's so dumb because, like, everywhere where you can, like, customize a character, they always put a handlebar mustache in just because, like, oh, handlebar mustache, but not on the fucking Mii creator. And I was like, motherfucker.
Like, they just have, like,
have that bar mustache. And I'm like, damn it. That's not what I wanted. Like, everyone has handlebar mustaches except goddamn Nintendo.
You gotta email them. Be like, I am disappointed.
Yeah, they need a wider range of facial hair options for the Mii's. But no, I haven't turned on my Wii U in a while. Like, I beat Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 a couple weeks back, and now I like haven't turned on my Wii or my Wii U.
How are like the bonus things for Bayonetta 1? Like the Nintendo character costumes? Is that
they're just costumes?
Yeah, that's it. They don't like, add anything.
Well, they change everything for the moves. Like the moves look totally different because they're themed after the costume. So it's not like, because in Bayonetta, like you have like the giant foot stomp and like hand that come out, right? Yeah. That are made of hair. And for example, if you put on the Bowser costume, then it's like Bowser's hand and Bowser's like foot stomping. I didn't really play with them because they don't fit. Like they really screw up that game's visual style. Like I think it's really a great looking game. And they went all out with those skins, but, like, they don't fit.
Yeah, that's understandable. I think they're still a cool add-in, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain, like, content. I just didn't like the content, so I didn't use it.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But no, Bayonetta 2 was great. I mean, today's podcast is mostly just talking about what games we really liked this year in place of doing a top 10 list. That was the idea. So, yep. A lot of the top 10 lists are coming out this year, and some of like my favorite YouTubers are kind of falling into the traps that like a lot of video game review outlets try really, really hard not to fall into. Like I watched that one video gamer, like the completionist Gerard's, top 10. That guy has one game for the first 9 months of the year.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and I was like,
I haven't seen that video yet.
Oh, like the only game on the list from like the top first 9 months of the year was South Park: The Stick of Truth, and I was like, did he just like forget about the first 9 months of the year? Because there were like a lot of great games that came out, and I mean, the review outlets—they work really hard. They like make sure to go through and check every game, at least all of the like big releases. And a lot of YouTubers that I notice don't, and they end up like pretty much just picking the stuff that they're playing in the last 2 months of the year because it's the stuff that they remember, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, like the first time that I tried to do top 10 like that, I kind of fell for that. But then I had to, like, go and revise the list because I was like, no, what the fuck actually came out this year? Because, like, when you try to just think, like, what games did I really enjoy this year? It's always, like, the stuff that you played in the last month.
Yeah.
So for last year, like, I started building my list in January. I was like, this game's good. Put it on this goddamn list. And my list was, like, 25 games. I was like, okay, which actually belongs on this list? But, like, any game that I played that was good, I was like, put it on my list so that I knew it came out this year. And I feel like a lot of people don't do that. And as a result, they end up, like, with these really, like, end-of-year-heavy game-of-the-year lists. And it's bizarre. Like, for example, no, like, very few people have been mentioning the Banner Saga.
Yeah. It's, I was surprised to see it on Angry Joe's list. He put it as like I think number 10. It was on his list. I was like, hey, I know that game.
Yeah,
Ryan will stop talking about it
because it's great. It's okay. So if
it's
you're
not,
if you
it's
pretty
not
much
my type of game, but I can tell that it's a great game for people who love that genre.
Yeah, but the story is really good, and the art is fantastic. So even if you're like not, and the game's not that long, so like if you liked Transistor, for example, you'll like the Banner Saga. Like they're very similar in play style. And
very disappointed by
Transistor.
Yeah,
I know it wasn't that good, but like if you liked that game mechanically, you'll like the Banner Saga. But the Banner Saga has a way better story and way better art. Like no one is doing as good of art as the Banner Saga. Like if you're doing like a list and you're like best looking game of the year, the Banner Saga has to be in the top three because, I mean, it's graphically just, it's not, from a technical standpoint for graphics, it's not, like, mind-blowing, but from just, like, the sheer amount of work and the actual style of that game, it's fantastic. It's top of its class. Like, name another video game that is entirely rotoscoped. Yeah, exactly. Like, not even Disney is doing as good of rotoscoping nowadays as that fucking video game is. Like, that's the best animation anyone's animating. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and so if, like, you're talking about best looking game, I mean, that's it. Like, it's so fantastic. Plus, Vikings. Everyone likes Vikings. But yeah, like, that's a game that isn't getting mentioned a lot because, like, it came out in, like, February. It came out early, like, late January, early February. So I think people kind of just forgot about it. What else came out early this year? I mean, South Park came out, but people remember that. Watch Dogs came out this year. Like, remember Watch Dogs? That game that was supposed to, like, usher in the new generation of consoles and was awful? Dicks. Like, that was that's like the disappointment of the year right there. I mean, people like to bring up Halo, they like to bring up Destiny, and they like to bring up Assassin's Creed Unity, because those games are, one of them is like should be game of the year but isn't.
Yep.
And the other two are broken. But Watch Dogs, like, for the up until it was released, spent 2 years being like, this is why we're getting new consoles, guys. We need new consoles for Watch Dogs, because Watch Dogs is going to be, like, it's going to change video games forever. It's going to be the thing that defines the next generation. Oh, my God, what a disappointing game. Like, even when it didn't work on PC, and even when it did work, it wasn't good. It didn't look anything like the early builds. I mean, like, okay, at E3 a couple years ago, like, Jeff Gerstmann and a bunch of people were there, like, from bigger review outlets, and they played a build of Watch Dogs. Like, this is for, like, judging purposes for the, like, the E3 Judges Awards. And, like, that's the first time that those people touched PlayStation 4 controllers. And they're like, this is the fucking best game ever. Like, it's fantastic. It looks amazing. And it didn't come out looking anything like this build that people fucking actually, like, played. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just insanity. But no one remembers Watch Dogs came out this year.
That's what a lot of games were like. It was like, hey, here's our game. And this is the demo of it. And they spent fucking months, almost maybe like 6 months, working on just that, like, one demo level. And then the whole game comes out.
That alien game?
Even that level isn't even like that.
Yeah, like that alien game that came out. The Gearbox one. That was really bad.
I don't even...
Colonial Marines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That is a game that did not play or look like its demo. But, I mean, Watch Dogs was like the start of the year, basically, for AAA. Like, it was the first big game for the year. And it was the first big Ubi game of the year. And, I mean, Ubisoft had an awful year. Name a game that Ubisoft did this year that was any good. Because there's two of them, actually. There's Child of Light and Valiant Hearts. But those are small downloadable titles. Every AAA game that they've released this year, except for maybe Far Cry 4, like, Far Cry 4 is the exception, even though it's kind of broken on PC, every game they did, like, was a huge mess. Like, it wasn't even just a little bit. Like, it wasn't slightly disappointing. It was a fucking mess. Watch Dogs was a huge mess because it was nothing like what they advertised. Like, that was like a bait and switch, basically. And then Assassin's Creed Unity didn't even fucking work. The crew is like, what? It didn't run the first day because the servers kept crashing. And it was like that for a couple days, I think. And that game is just every other Ubisoft open world game. That's a car game with fucking towers that you go to reveal the map. This sound familiar?
No, not at all. I can't, like, think of any game that Ubisoft has done that does that.
Every game they did this year does that. Watch Dogs does that. Assassin's Creed does that. They have two fucking Assassin's Creed games this year. And and the one that's for last-gen consoles is the better of the two. It was the B game. It was made by the B team. And then the crew has towers. And Far Cry 4 has towers. All four of their open world games have fucking towers.
It blows my mind that the last gen Assassin's Creed is the better Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it's boggling. That is, like, the Assassin's Creed game that came out this year, not only was it super broken, but it was just not fun. Like, it's franchise ending bad. I don't know if they can do an Assassin's Creed next year and, like, expect it to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucked up. That was such a bad outcome for that game. And the thing is, after Black Flag, I was actually kind of interested in Assassin's Creed, and they, like, pitched the co-op thing, and I was like, maybe I'll buy this one. Thank God I didn't buy it, but, man, it was bad. I basically had the choice of getting Assassin's Creed Unity or the Master Chief Collection, and I bought the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still broken.
At least you can play custom games with your friends, and campaign is really good.
Yeah, the campaign is good. I mostly bought it just to play through the campaign again. Like, I haven't played Halo. I didn't play Halo 4 ever, so
well, that's
that was my first chance to play it. Even though, yeah, like, it didn't look great, they didn't really do any work into, like, the port on that.
Yeah.
But it was okay. And then I played through Halo 1, which looks bad. Like, their HD upgrade of that was bad. So
it looked great on the 360.
It does not. It probably doesn't look great on the Xbox. It is real flat, real jaggy, and I disagree with a lot of their art changes. Like, characters that they took to HD don't look the same as they do in the base game. Like, yeah, even a little. Like, I thought that, like, the dude who, talks to you at the beginning of the game of Halo, like, when you get out of the pod, he looks like he's a fat, like, bald dude, but in the HD upgrade, he's, like, a bulky dude with a buzz cut. I'm like, what? No, these aren't the fucking same person. What is it? Like, when I say bulky, I mean, like, he's fucking, like, big and muscular. And I'm like, this isn't... No, that's not who you fucking modeled in the other game. Don't... Ugh. And, like, one of the main characters doesn't look the same, like, even a little bit the same. It's the Admiral.
Captain Keyes?
Captain Keyes.
I thought he looked pretty similar. I thought his face looked kind of gross.
Yeah, he looks fucking weird.
But I felt that was because he was old.
Yeah, I don't like that game, like, that update. Like, it looks fucking weird. And the lighting is totally different, like, completely different. In the HD version, everything is fucking bright all the time, and in the other version, it's dark as shit. And so, like, it totally changes the atmosphere of the game. I think that the original version is a superior version to, the Anniversary Edition, which is strange, because you think the Anniversary Edition, like, is at a higher resolution, a higher frame rate, but because of their art changes, it doesn't work. So, I feel like that was a mistake on their part. I think they could have done a better job of it. And then I just never got around to doing 2 and 3 again, so.
Yeah.
And 2 is apparently the best looking version of all of those, obviously, because they put so much work into getting it on the Xbox One.
I'm happy with that, because 2 is my favorite, so...
Yeah, I haven't played it yet. I probably won't get around to it. Like, the Master Chief Collection is something I'll just play every once in a while.
Yeah. If I had an Xbox One, it's something I'd probably play all the time. But I don't have an Xbox One, and I can deal with not owning the Master Chief Collection. What I can't deal with is... Yeah,
doesn't work, so...
Yeah. Hopefully, the Halo 5 beta has different servers than the Master Chief Collection does.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's wrong with Master Chief Collection. At least it exists. And, like, the thing is, so, if you're, like, comparing the Master Chief Collection to, let's say, Watch Dogs or Assassin's Creed Unity, like, Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed, or even Destiny. Like, Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed Unity, and Destiny are not great games. Assassin's Creed Unity and Watch Dogs.
I don't really think you could put Destiny in the same bundle as those one.
No, here's why you can. Assassin's Creed Unity is broken, right? But if they fix everything in Assassin's Creed Unity, it's still a bad game. Like, it's just not fun. It's boring.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs. They fix everything in Watch Dogs. That game's still fucking boring. Destiny. It's boring. Like, it's a game that feels good. There's no bugs, but it's just fucking boring. And, like, a year from now, Destiny's still going to be boring. But yeah. A year from now, they fix the online for Master Chief Collection. That's a fucking great pack. A patch can turn around the Master Chief Collection and make it great forever, whereas, like, that's just not the case with those games.
It's funny, because the DLC came out for Destiny recently, and the DLC is fucking awesome. But the only problem is...
There's almost none of it.
But the only problem is that I'm sitting there playing through the DLC, and I'm going, I wish the rest of the game was like this when I fucking bought it, because then it would have been a good game.
Well, even at that, there's, like, very little content to that DLC.
There's not much to the DLC at all. Like, I've already played through pretty much all of it.
And it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can expect the next pack to be of that size, is that fucking worth it at all? Like,
no. Definitely not.
Yeah, and so... And especially, like, when Destiny 2 is in development, and I'm assuming that it shouldn't take as long as Destiny did. Like, Destiny is one of these, like, that should have been the game of the year. I wasn't even hyped for Destiny. I bought it because all my friends were playing it, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm kind of obligated to play this. Like, I work as a game designer, so I should fucking play this because everyone's playing it. I do a podcast on video games. I should play it because everyone's fucking playing it. Like, so I felt like I had to play it at least. And I was like, I started the game. I was like, this is all right. And you just get farther and farther into it, and you're like, there's no good fucking content in this. And then you get to the end, you do the raid, and you're like, wow, I wish any of the other game was like this. Like, any bit of it. Because
the DLC is a lot like the raid.
Yeah, because it's just another raid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the story missions that they added in are a lot like...
there's only, like, two story missions.
I know. There's, like, four or five, and it's, like, that's not enough.
Yeah, it take you, like, what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was through all the story stuff in maybe, like, 4 hours.
Yeah. No, that's not enough content. That's crazy. No, it's not. So it's just, like, why... Like, that's the company that essentially had, like, infinite money, and they had a ton of time. I mean, think about how long they've been doing Destiny. They've been doing it since they did their last Halo game. Probably even before that.
From what I've heard from other designers that were in Bungie before they left and before Destiny was released, they had been working... They were in sandbox mode by the time that there were groups working on releasing ODST and Reach.
Yeah. Like...
Yeah.
They've been doing that game forever.
Yes.
And it's fucking boring.
It's a little upsetting.
I mean, it's the best game, or it's the worst game that everyone's playing this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
I'm still playing the shit out of it, and I know it's fucking horrible, but I'm into shooters, and it gives something different to the shooter genre.
It does the shooting really well, but it just doesn't do anything else.
No,
like, it doesn't even have a story. The story is offloaded onto a fucking website. Like, what? Should we start up a category for, like, Game of the Year? Like, best story offloaded into iPhone app.
Like, yes.
Like, that's that. And even with the stuff that's on the website, there's still no story. Like, you read through all of that, and it's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
So dumb. Like, that game's story basically amounts to, yeah, you remember that giant thing at the beginning of the game that I said was really important that I wouldn't tell you anything about? It's important, and I'm still not going to tell you anything about it. It's like, I hate you.
Yeah, and just so you know, the new raid, not even close to as long as the original. As close to as long as Vault of Glass, and it's super easy.
Ugh.
Super easy. It's a really good raid, but it's super easy. And it's really short. It might also be super short because we're cheesing about half of it as of currently right now, since there's ways to cheese, like, half the raid right now.
Yeah, but if it's there, then that's a fucking legitimate strategy. Like, it's not cheesing. It's how you play the raid.
The way that they're cheesing the final boss, the way that people are cheesing the final boss is kind of cheating, because basically you have the host dashboard, so it glitches the game and causes the boss to stop basically reloading his health bar, his shield, so you can just constantly wail on him while he doesn't move.
That's clearly a bug.
Yeah, that's clearly a bug. The other stuff is just a glitch in the system.
It's like an oversight.
Yeah, basically, like, there's a couple things where you can just jump through a few hoops and you're on your way. But that final boss one is just a straight up, like, just...
Yeah, that's a bug.
You're, like, just glitching.
But, yeah, I mean, like, that game was... We were sold a package of goods and it fucking didn't have anything that we were told that it was going to be in there. Like,
you're like,
there was the implication
a...
that it was going to be, like, a Halo... Like, a story at least as good as Halo.
Yeah.
What
you got was you ordered a giant bin of cookies and you got a bunch of saltine crackers.
Yeah, I mean, you got a beta. Like,
yeah.
You got, like, hey guys, here's our, like, $70 open beta test for Destiny 2.
Now, if the game was actually good enough and, like, a year down the road there was like a Game of the Year edition which came with like 6 DLC within it when you bought it, that would be a good deal. If it came with like the next 4 or 5 DLC when you bought the CD and it was like a Game
of
the Year edition,
because then you have to just grind through all of the old content to reach the level cap so that you can do the content that everyone else is doing. Like,
yeah,
you're not,
I guess you're right.
If you get to the end, like, if I buy all of the expansions, right, the only raid I'm going to do is the one in the latest expansion. Because that's the only one people are going to be raiding.
People are still
and
doing Vault of Glass.
Yeah, but I feel like Vault of Glass is going to become outdated when... If they like, they get more raids, because they can't just give you the new gear in the old raid.
No.
Like, at
people
some
are
point,
still
they have
doing...
to outdate the raid. However, I don't think
that
they can do
for,
that.
People are still doing it just because it's like their first time doing it and they want to enjoy it, or just because people are redoing it because it gives them exotic guns, because there's still chance for exotic drops from it.
Yeah, see,
plus there's
there are
like,
eventually the
yeah.
exotic drops that you can get out of it are just not going to be any good, and then
well,
people
no,
won't
because,
do it.
All exotic guns are going to be buffed every expansion. Bungie stated that all exotic guns are going to be buffed after every expansion to be
well,
able to keep up with all the other ones.
Then they're just not going to drop them in the old raids. Like, that's just going to be how that works. Or Bungie is not... Or what's more likely, Bungie isn't going to do that, because that sounds like a fucking terrible idea, actually. Like, it sounds like they don't know how to keep an MMO relevant. They should look at WoW and then look at that and then really, really think about what they just said, because that's a fucking terrible idea. That's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard, actually. Yeah, we'll just buff all of the old gear so that, like, every piece of content is still relevant, but all of the old content is going to become super easy and it's going to unbalance the game's gear distribution. It's going to be garbage. Yeah. Like, they're either going to have to rebalance every single raid every time they release a new one, or they're going to have to start cutting raids out, basically. Because you can't pretend like your gear that dropped like 3 days after launch is somehow going to be relevant when the level cap is moved up. But like, you can't just keep buffing the gear. That's dumb. Because then people who are at the level cap are never going to not be the level cap. And that's garbage. That's not fun. That doesn't keep people engaged. Like, if I was level 30 and they bumped the level cap and then my gear, like exotic guns got a bump, it's like, okay, why do I play your expansion then? Like, there's no progression for me. No, that sounds like an awful idea.
Yeah. It's just because, like, everyone's basically been complaining. It's like, oh, I worked so hard to get all these exotic guns, and now they're just going to be nerfed, and they're not going to be as good as the new ones. It's like, what was the point in spending 20 hours in the last raid when I just
Welcome
got all
to
this
MMOs.
Exotic... Yeah.
Fucking all of my... I had, like, 10 tiers of gear that became outdated through WoW. I mean, this is how it happens. I mean, you get outdated gear in the same fucking expansion. Like, get over it. That's just how these games work. You can't complain that you spent 20 hours trying to get a gun, and then the gun becomes outdated when they bump the level cap. Like, that's just how these games progress. Deal with it. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. That's how basically all most MMOs work. Just the FPS community isn't used to that.
Yeah, well, Destiny isn't really that much. No. Like, it's an FPS in that you are first-person shooting, but there's a bunch else on there that are, like, not that genre.
And a lot of people aren't used to it, so... They're like, they expect to be Call of Duty where it's like, I'm level 50 and I have all the guns and now I'm going to keep them forever. And now when I prestige, I can choose which ones I want to keep. So I just keep my favorite ones.
Yeah. No, that's not that. No. Destiny won't make sense working like that. No. Jeez. What games do you really like this year? We've talked. We've complained a lot about Destiny and Halo and Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, we have done that a lot over the year.
Ubisoft had a really bad year, but
I actually made a quick list of a lot of the games that I like this year. One of the most prominent ones on that list is definitely Shovel Knight.
Yeah, Shovel Knight's fantastic.
Game is amazing.
I got that on Wii U after. Well, after it released, it was
I picked it up on Steam, I think, like a day or two after it came out, and it was definitely worth the money.
Yeah, see, I didn't get it until like August. No, I didn't even start playing until September, though. That's a game that I started playing pretty late. But no, Shovel Knight's fantastic. Like, that is a game that makes walking to the right fun.
Yeah, and sometimes to the left.
Yeah, and sometimes to the left.
There's passages to the left. Don't forget that.
Yeah, it has amazing game feel. Like, game feel is this weird thing that's hardly quantifiable, but that game does it really well. It's just really tight controls. You never feel like the game screwed you over, which makes it fantastic. Like, it makes it wonderful. I mean, some of the boss fights are, like, really goddamn hard, but, like, they're fun. I mean, if you want something... Yeah. That game has really hard boss fights, but the bosses aren't so hard that they're unbeatable. Like, I had trouble on some of the bosses because, like, it's not a genre that I'm particularly great at or even enjoy that much. But I love Shovel Knight. Like, it was just solid.
Yeah. I loved it. It's definitely one of the best platformers I've played in a long time. And it adds so much to it.
Yeah.
And I know the 3DS version is adding a bunch more, and Steam's going to be getting a bunch more with like free content that's going to be added on just because of the... what are they called? Basically, like, they made so much more money than they asked for in their pledges. Oh, the
stretch goals.
Yeah, because they're stretch goals. There's gonna be some more that's added for free, so that'll be
the Wii U awesome. And the and the 3DS are the only like consoles that got that, isn't it?
Yeah, man, those are the only consoles.
This has been a fucking great year for Nintendo. Like,
yes, it has. Remember when the Wii U came out and everyone said Nintendo's dead? Well,
yeah. I mean, the Wii U had like a pretty awesome launch lineup. For consoles. If you bought an Xbox One and
a PS4
or a PS4 and you're like, these have great launch lineups, like Sony was like, this is our greatest launch lineup ever, we have 22 games, and like Microsoft was kind of doing the same thing, neither of those consoles had as good of a launch lineup as the Wii U. The Wii U had Nintendo Land, which was pretty great. It had
Nintendo Land's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Also, really, I hate the Donkey Kong level. Fuck that thing. I cannot beat that Donkey Kong, and it pisses me off. I can't beat it,
but it's super fun.
It's fun, but I can't beat it. It annoys me, and I want to beat it.
Yeah, but it's super. Like, that is something that's super creative. Like,
yeah.
How you use the gamepad. I like that you like use, and they use that stuff in Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, that game came out this year.
That's a game from the beginning of the year.
Yes, Gerard it is.
Loves Donkey Kong. He didn't even fucking mention it.
That's upsetting.
Yeah.
Tropical Freeze is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's way better than Donkey Kong Country Returns. Yeah. So I'm a little. I'm surprised he didn't mention that game. I bet if he watched the podcast, he would hear us say Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze came out, and he's like, "Fuck my list, god damn it!"
I've been playing it with my girlfriend recently, and that game is fucking hard on co-op because whenever you die, it takes two lives from you.
Well, I mean, if two people die.
I know, but it makes it so fucking hard because you only start with four lives.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's like, no, we're not buying more lives. So we played through the whole game. We're at the final boss now. But that final
boss is hard. We're still going to be off when we finally do. I didn't get anything about that final boss.
The final boss is hard. We're still trying to beat him. But once we do, it'll be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, I didn't beat that game. I only got about halfway through it. I was playing it with my girlfriend at the time. She wasn't very good. So, but it's I should go back and beat that game.
Yes, you should. My favorite level is the one where the whole island is based on a factory that is designed specifically to make the final boss a popsicle. So the whole time you're going through the island, there's like rivers of juice and then like levels about like crushing grapes and stuff. And then at the ending, it's all like a freezer. It's like freezing the juice that you've seen through the whole level. And then at the very final part, the boss has like a popsicle that's made from like the juice that you've seen through the whole level. It's an amazing island.
That sounds pretty great, actually.
My least favorite island is the one that is basically just a reef and it's all water levels. And I want to cry.
I like the Donkey Kong Country water levels.
I like them too, but they're annoying at parts.
Yeah, I mean, they can be hard.
Yeah.
Man, what else did Nintendo have out this year? Oh, I mean, when they launched the Wii U, they had Zombie U. That was good.
Yeah, that was great.
It wasn't great. It was just good. As someone who
played it. It, like, if you're playing it like co-op with friends, it can become like really fun.
There isn't co-op in that game.
I mean like against each other with friends. There's like a versus mode.
It's okay.
I like.
But the single player, like, it had some really good ideas, but they stopped being super fun later on in the game. And you're like, I just want to fucking beat this game. Like, get on the way. Like, it has a lot of interesting ideas. It takes some ideas from Dark Souls. It takes some ideas from like motion games.
It's
neat.
Another obvious Nintendo game that came out this year, Mario Kart 8 and Smash Bros.
Mario Kart 8 and Smash Bros. Both of those are great. I still haven't gotten to play through the MK8 DLC, which is super disappointing because there's an Excitebike level, and I love Excitebike.
It's literally Excitebike. And then I want to get the Hyrule Warriors DLC too because there's Majora's Mask DLC coming out soon, and I'm going to have to play that because it's probably going to come with Skull Kid, and I'm going to want to play Skull Kid.
I need to get back to that game too.
Hyrule Warriors, I've been playing it, and it's so much better than any Dynasty Warriors game ever made.
I like the concepts that it brings to that franchise. I would not say it's so much better than any Dynasty Warriors game ever made. I think maybe you just like Zelda a lot.
No, as someone who's played like every Dynasty Warriors game with my friend over the years.
Did you play Warriors Orochi 3 Hyper Edition?
I've not played Hyper Edition Orochi's 3.
That is that's on Wii U. It was a launch game. I bought it, and my friend and I beat that game, and that is a fantastic Dynasty Warriors game.
I have not been a fan of many of the Dynasty Warriors game since the later PS2 ones. 8 was pretty good. I enjoyed 8. Other than that, I've been kind of disappointed with most of them.
I like Warriors Orochi 3 because it has Ryu, it has Hayabusa and a bunch of characters from Ninja Gaiden. They travel into the future, and Warriors Orochi 3 is a time travel story. It's fucking ludicrous, okay?
Okay.
It's Dynasty Warriors with time traveling, and so then they end up with a bunch of characters in Dynasty Warriors that, like, aren't supposed to be there because they travel into their time zones, and it's great. It's good. It's good.
Another game I've been playing recently that was I just got it for Christmas. That's really good. Is Kirby Triple Deluxe. That's a great Kirby game.
Yeah, I heard good things about that game, but that it was super easy. Like,
it's Kirby. Even,
but no, like, even for a Kirby game, it was, like, strangely easy.
That's like, coming from the game that pretty much follows Epic Yarn.
Yeah. Like, it was, like, was even very easy. Easier than that. I
don't know.
I don't like Kirby that the Kirby game. Games got, like, too easy.
I don't know. I don't... Seriously, it's a Kirby game. It's not supposed to be difficult.
But if it has zero challenge to it at, like, any point in the game...
I don't
then
care.
Then it becomes boring.
Like, it's supposed to be a nice, relaxing, fun game. I don't care about difficulty when I'm playing a Kirby game. If I'm enjoying the cuteness and I'm having fun, then that's... I don't care about the difficulty.
I think that difficulty is a legit complaint with that series in that, like, the early ones were hard... Like, they were just challenging enough. Like, I'm not saying they're fucking hard. They're far from that. They're not even, like, average difficulty. But there was just enough challenge on, like, some of the bosses and stuff that it made it fun. Whereas in, like, a lot of the modern Kirby games, you just walk right and suck things up, and you will beat anything, including the bosses. And that is boring. I mean, I think that the Kirby games are adorable. I think they got great soundtracks, fantastic art, but oh man, they are not that interesting anymore. I think the last one that I really liked was it was that co-op one. You could play it 4-player, and it was for the Wii. Kirby
Dreamland.
Dreamland?
Yeah, it's for the Wii.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, it's like still like $70.
Is it really? I bought it for like... Where did I buy it? I think I got it on eBay for like $35.
Let's see.
No, I got it at a Future Shop for $40. That's what I did. But
yeah, there's two. There's Kirby's Adventure.
And Kirby's Return to Dreamland or whatever.
Yeah, and
the one where you can play as Meta Knight. And you're like repairing
the... I think it's Return to Dreamland then, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Return to Dreamland is like, it's worth like $60 still.
Yeah, I got that one when I got my Wii U.
I have loved every Kirby. I've loved Return to Dreamland, I've loved Epic Yarn, I've loved Triple Deluxe, and I'm excited for Curse that's coming out in a month or two.
Sorry. Plus Yoshi's... Which Kirby game comes out in a month or two?
The Curse one. It's like the clay one.
Oh, yeah. That I'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to buy it on launch, but I'm going to see how it is, and then I'll pick it up if it's good. Yoshi's Woolly World 2 is another game that I'm excited for.
Yeah. Yoshi's Woolly World should hopefully be good.
You know what else came out this
like,
year?
This year, next year is looking like a good, like a pretty good year for Nintendo.
Yes. It's looking like an amazing year.
A new Zelda game and a new Star Fox, but I don't know what else they have really.
Xenoblade.
Like, Chronicles. Xenoblade Chronicles. Yes.
The reason I bought my Wii U.
Yeah, I bought my Wii U for that. I forgot that's coming out next year.
I bought it
for Monster Hunter in that game, and I totally forgot that it was coming out next year. It's because it was supposed to come out this year, and they just fucking, like, they didn't even, like, say, hey, we're not releasing it this year, it's coming out in 2015. They're just like, yeah, I remember 2 years ago when we said it was coming out? Well, we're just not going to address that. Because, like, before I bought my Wii U, they, like, did a big Nintendo Direct, and, like, in 2014... The Wii U is going to get Xenoblade Chronicles X. I was like, oh man, I gotta go buy a fucking Wii U. And I bought one, and they just didn't come out. I was like, you motherfuckers. They're like, E3, they're like, 2015. And I was like, oh, you assholes. You didn't even address that you just delayed this game, did you? You didn't even address it.
Oh, that's funny. Another game that came out recently that I haven't played too much, but is obviously amazing because everyone's playing it, is Rebirth. For Binding of Isaac, which I guess is really just a remake,
yeah,
expansion.
It's more of a remake.
But a lot of people
because they
still
like poured it over the engine. Because I mean, the original Binding of Isaac was like on this garbage engine.
Yeah.
I couldn't play that game full screen because it was basically just a flash game. But yeah, Binding of Isaac Rebirth. I don't know if you can like count that as like a big game of this year though, because it's not like a new game. It's a quote unquote new game, like
yeah. But another surprising game that I'd have to say that I was really happy with was Advanced Warfare, the new Call of Duty.
Oh, that was. I didn't think that I could get into a Call of Duty game.
Neither did
I. More than a week, like after release, ever again. Especially like after the last few years, Advanced Warfare, like everything leading up to that, made it look like bad Titanfall, and then it was good Titanfall.
Yeah, it came out, and I was really happy with how it played.
Yeah, it was better than fucking Titanfall. Like Titanfall is a game that just like did not live up to expectations for like anyone.
And working at a game store and hearing people come in and saying the new Call of Duty sucks dick because you can float around on a jetpack really upsets me, and it makes me go, you're the reason why Call of Duty has sucked for the past 5 years.
Yeah, like everything about this new Call of Duty is fantastic. I mean, Sledgehammer, basically they looked like they were making a bad version of Titanfall, and they came and they kicked everyone's ass. Like they've changed everyone's mind on Call of Duty, basically. It's fantastic.
It adds just enough to change the formula, which is perfect.
I think that part of that, though, why people love this new Call of Duty, like, I've seen it top Game of the Year lists, and no one would have fucking thought that that was possible. Like, people who are really into games, who, like, they like Call of Duty in passing, are like, this is the best game of the year. Like, it's the best.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no one would have thought that 9 months ago. No one would have thought that 12 months ago. I mean, that last Call of Duty game, it looked like it was going to break the franchise. But this one, like, saved it. I think part of that, though, is that a lot of games weren't nearly as good as anyone expected. Destiny, like I said, it should have been Game of the Year. What a disappointment.
Yep.
I don't think it's as disappointing as, let's say, Watch Dogs, because that wasn't even supposed to be Game of the Year. That was supposed to be, like, Game of the Goddamn Generation, like, the Messiah. And,
yeah.
I mean, even Ubisoft was hyping it like that, and everything they showed made that game look great, whereas everything that they showed about Destiny didn't, because they almost showed nothing.
I still love, like, the original E3 show off of that game, where they're in, like, the beginning tutorial area. And they turn around and they look and they go, one day you guys will be able to explore anywhere out there. And the whole fucking area is unplayable. It's just an unplayable area now.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, like, they showed very little of Destiny. And it kind of left, like, at least lived up to some expectations. It shoots well and has good art.
Yeah, the other thing was,
people had fun playing Destiny. No one had fun playing Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Watch Dogs is so the most disappointing game of this this year. But I mean, the reason why that Call of Duty game people were like think it's fantastic, I think, is largely because like Master Chief Collection was a flop, like because it doesn't have fucking multiplayer working. Destiny was not anything anyone expected. Like people had fun with it, but it wasn't what we were promised.
Like, I'm still having fun with Destiny, but it's nowhere near a good game or what I was hoping for.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I really, as soon as they announced that it was going to be for last-gen consoles, people should have instantly known that it wasn't going to live up to expectations.
Yeah, I mean, there's other hints that made it not look great.
Yeah.
Like, there were journalists being, flown out to Bungie to look at the game, and when they got there, they weren't actually able to, like, play the game. So they're like, let's talk about how well Paul McCartney made a song for this game. It was like, yeah, that is an example of this game not being what we think it is. Like, they're not going to show it to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, Destiny was not nearly as good as anyone thought it was going to be. Assassin's Creed Unity just didn't work for anyone. And even when it did work, it wasn't good. And I mean, after Black Flag, like, after everyone was basically like, yep, okay, we can play Assassin's Creed again. Like, after Black Flag, I don't know anyone who played Black Flag and didn't think it was good. I didn't beat
My
Black
girlfriend
Flag.
Hates it.
Oh.
It's because she had a lot of trouble with the game glitching for her with the camera angles while she was in the ship. Like, her camera would get stuck behind the ship multiple times.
Oh,
and then she wouldn't be able to see.
Issue.
Yeah. So I don't blame her. I heard Rogue is a lot like
It's a
Black
continuation
Flag.
Of Black Flag. That's why
yeah,
it's a
see,
lot
I'd,
like it. It's...
I'd be down for that. Black Flag was cool. I'd rather, you know, not a continuation of Black Flag, just a whole different fucking pirate game.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
I don't know
if you can turn that one thing into a whole game is the issue.
I like the pirate ship parts of Black Flag, and I would love if they were to replace the Assassin's Creed parts with something more piratey. Like, what was it? Sid Meier's Pirates. That game
was
amazing.
That's a fantastic game. That's a game I'd like an update to.
Yes, I would.
But, yeah, I mean, basically, all of the... Oh, wow, my screen just turned off. What the fuck? Oh,
no!
Bad. I mean, all of the games that we expected to be great this year, or, like, not necessarily... When I say we, I almost exclusively, like, definitely don't mean me, because I didn't think... I don't like Assassin's Creed.
Neither do I.
And I am not a huge Bungie fanboy, so I was like...
I was really hoping Destiny would be great.
I was always appropriately not hyped for Destiny. I was just like, Destiny has the potential to be really good. Alright. I mean, like, the only game that I think I got really hyped for was Divinity Original Sin. That's a fantastic game. And
you're
it was everything
hyped for
I fucking
Age
wanted.
Too.
I still haven't played Broken Age. I haven't bought it.
Not Broken Age. Fuck. What was it? What was the one that we were just talking about at the beginning of the podcast?
Witcher 3.
Nope. Vikings.
Oh, Banner Saga.
Yeah, you're really hyped for Banner Saga.
Yeah, yes and no. My hype for the Banner Saga came from playing the free-to-play Banner Saga thing and where they give you, like, just the very first 5 minutes of the story, and then they give you, and then you can play, like, this multiplayer component that isn't in, like, the Banner Saga. It's just in, like, this free-to-play thing that they released. And I was like, this game looks amazing! Like, I don't like this multiplayer stuff. It's just all right. But, oh my god, this game looks amazing. It plays really well. And so, like, the demo sold me on being hyped for that game. But the demo, like, but I played a version of that game before I was like, holy fuck, I need this game.
Broken Age did come out this year, beginning of this year. That game is outstanding. I know you're waiting for Act 2.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer I'm going to wait. I might just play it. The reason why I say I might just play it is because I was listening to the Giant Bomb Game of the Year podcast, and they were talking about best story, and they didn't spoil Broken Age, but they did mention exactly where, like, they were very surprised because that Broken Age ended, like, part one ended the way it was, because they, when they talked about releasing the game as two parts, it sounded like they were haphazardly releasing it, and that it was never planned to be, like, episodic in any way. And that the way that Broken Age Part 1 ends is perfect.
Yeah.
And that, like, it just breaks really, really well on, like... And so, with that assurance, I feel like if I played it, I wouldn't just get pissed off a month down the line and be like, why the fuck isn't this goddamn game out? Like, where's the second part? I wouldn't get mad, because at least it, like, ended in a real way, whereas...
Like, I can see Broken Age... Part one ending, and then that just being the ending and having you have to think what, like, it'd be one of those, like, kind of like what happens after kind of endings, because it is a good ending and you kind of have an understanding of what's happened after playing it.
And so, and after hearing that from, like, a few people, because I've been trying to avoid spoilers on the game, like, completely. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know any, like, I never talk about that game with anyone. Like, people were like, it's good. I'm like, I'm just going to wait. Just don't tell me anything. I'm just going to wait. But after hearing that, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just play it. But also, I don't know when, like, right now I have the opportunity to play games, and I just don't know if I'm going to have the opportunity to play games a week from now when I go back to university.
You should definitely play Act 1. If you're considering playing it, I'd say play it. It's not that long. It's fun, and you're definitely going to enjoy it. And like you were saying from the giant bomb, the ending is, like, if they never made a part two, you could be satisfied with the ending of part one.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm, like, strongly considering it. But I'm also trying to finish Dragon Age Inquisition right now.
That game is... I've heard only good things about that game.
It's because it's fucking good.
I've also heard some bad things about that game. That's a lie.
There's... Well, I mean, it has issues. But,
yeah.
But it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It does Dragon Age 2 way better than Dragon Age 2 did. Like, it's a continuation of Dragon Age 2, basically, but it's good. Whereas Dragon Age 2 was awful. So, like, it's not the game that I wanted, but I knew that it wasn't going to be Dragon Age Origins a year ago. Like, basically, when they started talking about the game and, like, showing the game, and they were really open about, like, this version of the game, like, this is what it's going to be. And you basically knew, like, the entire time it wasn't going to be Dragon Age Origins. And so I'm not, like, upset or disappointed. In fact, I'm pleasantly surprised that it's a good version of Dragon Age 2, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, the game has some issues, but they're not, like, game-breaking issues. There's one thing that really pissed me off. There was a bug. They fixed the bug, but it's too late. I'm past that point in the game already. But, there was a bug that would make it so that when you, like, talked to Hawk, who is from Dragon Age 2, it's the character you play in Dragon Age 2, you run into her or him in Dragon Age Inquisition, and if you don't use the default Hawk character, then it changes your Dragon Age Inquisition character to use the British voice if male, and I was playing a male character. And then my character had a totally different voice, and I was like, what the fuck? And I had to reload and not use, like, my Hawk character that I made in Dragon Age 2 and use, like, the default one, who looks significantly worse. But I'm, like, hours and hours and hours past that point, because that's not that far into the game.
I heard there's also a point in Inquisition where there's a character in Dragon Age 2 that can die. But even if you kill that person in Dragon Age 2, they come back in Inquisition no matter what. Like, there's no way around it.
I haven't got to that. I don't know if that's the case.
Space Hamster was talking about it in his video on it.
And did he, like, import from the Dragon Age Keep and go through all of the choices?
I think it's... He said he imported it from... I don't know if you can import it from a save, but...
No, you can't. I know he was talking... You can import your character, like, the way they look... From the save,
I know, and then you have to
go through like the Dragon Age Keep and remake all of your decisions, and it took like two hours.
Yeah, he was doing the keep thing. That's what he's talking about then. Because I was like, I don't remember if there's just like a straight save thing like Mass Effect had.
No, there isn't, and the reason why they did that is likely related to like cross-platform saves, because it's like where if you're playing, it's a next-gen game, right? So it's like, you can't guarantee that the people who are playing on Xbox One played 2 on Xbox 360, the same thing for the PS4, and the same thing for the PC.
Yeah.
And so you can't guarantee where these saves are coming from. And so, like, you could offer just cloud saves. Like, if you're on PS4, you can use your PS3 cloud save. But if you don't have a PS3 cloud save because you have a 360 save, like, that's fucking garbage. And so, like, this was basically, like, the best workaround. Remake all your decisions, import your save.
Yeah, but I remember Space Hamster saying, like, he was going through the keep thing, and he had selected that this one character had died in his story, and he's playing Dragon Age Inquisition, and then that character shows up, and you're like, well, she's dead. Why is she here?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't save it or something. There's, like, you have to save it in the keep and then import it. It's weird. But who cares? The game's fucking good. You know what game was really surprising? I think I brought it up a few times, and not many people were talking about it. That new Wolfenstein game.
I have yet to play. As an FPS player, I should, but I have
you yet absolutely to should. It's fantastic. That game has no right to be good. In fact, okay, Wolfenstein is a game that no one thought was going to be good. Like, oh, it's a new Wolfenstein game. Great. Like, I wasn't going to play it. And then it came out, and everyone's like, we weren't going to play this, but it's really, really good for some reason. Like, a lot of reviewers, yeah, like proper outlets, were like, oh, I guess we're going to have to play Wolfenstein for an hour or two. And they like did it and like, no, we need to play it more because it's too good. And like, that's a game that I bought like right after the reviews came out, basically, and I was like really pleasantly surprised. It has no right to be good. It's a Wolfenstein game. It humanized BJ Blazkowicz, a man who was just like a little face in Wolfenstein, like in the center of the screen. Like, they made him a real human being with feelings. And that game, for whatever reason, has like one of the best sex scenes in video games. Like, they did it way better than BioWare does. BioWare, they're like strange and don't really blend in that story. Whereas in Wolfenstein, like, it makes goddamn sense in the story. Yeah. It doesn't in any of those in any of the BioWare games. Like, even Dragon Age Inquisition, when they do it in BioWare games, like, it might make sense, but at best, it's hokey.
Yeah.
That just wasn't the case in that Wolfenstein game.
I know Boogie2988 had put it on his top 10 list, and he was saying that the game was amazing, but it died out a little too quickly because there's no multiplayer in it. I was like, I don't think it needed multiplayer.
No, it didn't need multiplayer. Like, that, what would they do in that multiplayer? It wouldn't, like, it's not going to be COD. It's not going to be able to compete with it. Like, they're just going to put a watered-down Call of Duty in the multiplayer. That's fucking boring. Like, mechanically, that game doesn't even make sense in multiplayer because there's no progression system. And, progression wouldn't make sense in that game, and yet they would try to jam it into the multiplayer. And, like, the way that game plays, it just doesn't... It would have to be, like, an arena shooter, and I think that wouldn't work out well, especially for a big budget, because it's not where the market is right now. I mean, Unreal Tournament didn't do well. All of the arena shooters that are out, like, they're not doing great, and they're also much smaller titles. Like, they're just arena shooting, and I don't think that necessarily belongs in a AAA, like, Wolfenstein game. So, no, I don't think the multiplayer is necessary, because everyone just plays Call of Duty and Halo, so what's the point? Like, if you're on PC, you play Counter-Strike. If you're on a 360 or whatever, you play Halo or COD. So why bother competing with that? Like, that's just, you're not going to win. They just put money into a multiplayer that no one was going to play, so.
Yeah, you can't always think that way, because eventually something's going to come out that competes with COD. Something's going to come out that beats COD.
Yeah, but if you don't have, like, a really good idea of what you want to do for your multiplayer, then don't jam something in. And that was, like...
Yeah.
In fact, there's an interview on Giant Bomb. Patrick Klepek interviewed, like, the creative director of Wolfenstein. And, like, they talked about that. They're like, no, we didn't do a multiplayer because we didn't think we had something good.
Yeah. Like, so if you, like, don't think you have something good, then don't do it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't need another COD clone.
No.
So, but no, that new Wolfenstein was great. That was a huge surprise, actually.
I definitely need to play it, but you should. There's no way that I'm going to be able to play it unless I get a copy for Xbox or something, because my internet is not good enough for that fucking 50 gigabyte download.
Yeah, also your computer might not be.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to pick it up for whatever console, 360 probably.
I don't even know it's on 360.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But no, it's totally worth playing. That's the best campaign I've played in years. In fact, it was so good I played through it twice, because they have like a nice little, like, there's a timeline thing. At near the beginning of the game, you choose to let one person live and one person die. And depending on that choice, you end up with like totally different people in your resistance hold, kind of.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you save one guy, like, you end up with like a Jimi Hendrix type character in the game, And if you save the other guy, then like you end up with totally different people. So, and I played through it twice because it was like the characters were good enough to like make me want to do it twice.
Yeah. You know what else came out this year that was that I really enjoyed? I didn't play it long, but I did enjoy it. Was Hearthstone.
That was great. Hearthstone was great.
Recently on DLC too.
Yeah, it just got a new card expansion. It got
which I feel Goblin. Took way too long. I feel like there should have been more expansions.
Yeah, I think Blizzard has acknowledged that and said, yeah, it took too long, but that there won't be as long until the next one.
That's good, because it's like, by the time that Blizzard had its expansion out for Hearthstone, I'm pretty sure both Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic had at least two expansions out by then for both of their sets.
Yeah, it's crazy. The other thing Blizzard released this year, Warlords of Draenor.
Yeah.
That has like revitalized that game. I haven't had any money until just recently, but I'm about to go buy the World of Warcraft expansion. Like, I'm gonna buy it online tonight, and
I can't.
Maybe I won't end up beating any of the Nintendo stuff that I wanted to go back to and beat, because I'm probably gonna start just playing WoW. Like after this podcast,
I'd play WoW, but I've already promised myself I'm never going to play that game again because I get very addicted to video games, and WoW is not something I have the time for. I barely have enough time for the time I put into Destiny, and I feel like crap whenever I spend like 8 hours straight on Destiny.
But WoW is casual enough now that you can like get through all of the content in the week in like an hour a day. The way that the new WoW expansion is paced out, like you just do it like instead of all your dailies where you like you sit down and you just do all your goddamn dailies in like 8 hours and you do that once a week. Now you just log in for an hour a day and then you do your looking for raid stuff, and it's like
it's
so much better
paced
out than it used to be.
I started World of Warcraft on a private server, so it was just me, no one else, and maybe like a few friends. It was 12 o'clock at night. I was like, I'll go to bed like maybe like one or two. And then I was playing WoW, and then an hour later I looked at the clock and it was 8 a.m.
Yeah, but I mean, were you leveling? Because that's kind of how that leveling experience goes. Yeah, once you get to the end of the game, like there's so much less
that's not gonna really stop me from making a different character and start the leveling process again. Like I know me. I will not stop.
Fair enough.
It will never end, and I have YouTube videos to make. Those take up like all my time.
But yeah, I think I'm about to get back into Draenor, like probably tonight.
Yeah. I heard it's great. I heard it's more casual, which a lot of the hardcore people don't like, but it's really nice for people who don't hours and hours of time to shoot into World of Warcraft.
I used to be really hardcore, and at this point, like, I don't think they can go back to the game being really hardcore. I think they just need to go back, like, in order to get their old players back, they basically can't, like, to get back some of them at least, they can't go all hardcore because it just doesn't make any fucking sense now. Like, the people who play that game are not hardcore, in a sense. Because that's not the game that WoW has been since Burning Crusade. So, and like even in Burning Crusade, I was bitching about Burning Crusade becoming too like casual because they dropped the player count for raids from 40 to 25. And then I was like, this is too casual. There's nothing hardcore about WoW anymore. And so like they're not going to make that audience happy until they go back to 40-man raids, and then they're just going to piss off their current audience because they can't even do that because there's not enough people playing WoW anymore to have 40-man raids.
Yeah. Another game that came out that I really enjoyed was Ground Zeroes. I definitely wouldn't have paid full price for it when it came out, but it's like my girlfriend picked it up for like $5. I was like, this... It was really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good prequel to Metal Gear 5. Yeah,
it gets me really excited for the official release of Phantom Pain. That is a game that I'm going to have to play for sure when it comes out.
Yeah, when does that come out? Next year?
It comes out sometime next year, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well then, Joe, what would you... Before we end our podcasting for the year, what would you say is your game of the year?
Wow, that's hard. How about you go first?
Oh, man. If we had to go with a game I played the most, Monster Hunter 3U, even though it didn't come out this year. Jeez, what would be my game of the year? Fuck. I guess Bayonetta 2. Bayonetta 2 is fantastic. It's hard to pick one. Like, Bayonetta 2 or Wolfenstein. I think those were the two big AAA games that came out. Oh, Sunset Overdrive. That was fantastic, too. Like, if I had to pick three games to be my top of the year, it's those three games. Sunset Overdrive, Wolfenstein, and Bayonetta 2. I'm not really sure which one I would pick as, like, my favorite. That'd be hard to do. But, like, those are the three big AAA games that came out this year that I actually, like, enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I guess South Park, The Stick of Truth was good, too. I mean, that's one of the few games I beat, but I don't think it's as good as those other three.
I haven't played many of the new releases this year, so it's harder for me to pick. But I definitely have to go with probably Smash Bros. Or Shovel Knight. Both those games were outstanding.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're looking for like a value proposition, Smash Bros. Has probably the most content of any game that came out this year.
Which is so much.
Yeah, there's a ton. So, good choices. Good choices.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up for the year, and we'll see you guys when we come back at the beginning of January, which is only like a week away anyways, so, you know, whatever. We might skip this next weekend and then come back the second weekend of January with a vengeance.
That'd be magical.
Let's put the milk in the fridge.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for watching and or listening to the 77th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I've been Ryan. And we'll see you guys next year. Have a good New Year's.
See you guys.